Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on this Sunday. I tell you what, we've had kind of a wet latter part of the week and a wet weekend, but we are thankful, aren't we, for the rain. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the as we get into our teaching series again this morning. But we just want to give a big shout out and thank the Lord for how he not only produces the rain, but he produces the sunshine, and he takes care of all the seasons, not only on the earth, but the seasons in the midst of our lives. And we just want to praise him for who he is. Also, too, this morning, I just want to give you a shout out to just to help you remember that our next Vital Gathering is coming up soon on July 11th, and you're not going to want to miss that. We are going to have food, which is going to be outstanding. The food is always excellent. It's at Debbie's Celebration Barn from 5 to 7 o'clock on a late Sunday afternoon, evening, going, and we will get you out early enough to where you can still have some of the evening left. We're going to have food, like I shared with the Vital Ministries Worship Band. I tell you what, they are incredible. We see so much like these different churches, the Elevation Worship and some of these Bethel Worship. And I tell you what, folks, we're having that same experience at Vital Gathering. You're not going to want to miss that, because I believe the Holy Spirit has got something for us. As we give our finality of our next teaching series, as we've been continuing it, A Time to Roar, that will be my final speaking on that. You're not going to want to miss that night and catch that as we talk about what God has got for us in such a time as this. So you don't want to miss that again. July 11th, 5 to 7, Debbie Celebration Barn. You won't want to miss it. Bring family, friends, and I would strongly encourage you to bring someone who wouldn't come to church with you but might come to a Vital Gathering. You don't want to miss this opportunity to be a part of the gospel message and also to get, I believe, an encouraging word as well. Also, too, as Vital Ministries, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. We send out Vital Life. The writer for Vital Life is my wife. She does a fantastic job. She sends that out as an inspirational nugget. As she goes through the Bible and as it speaks to her, she writes and allows that to speak to us as we read those devotionals. Also, too, we have Vital Men devotionals. We have 5 men that write. I do mine on a Monday. I speak. But it's a great time that you can get that inspirational plug as men. And what greater time than this is men? It's time to rise, time to roar, time to stand. And I just encourage you to be a part of that as well. And again, I want to thank you. Maybe some of you are driving down the highway today. You've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay with us this morning. We're going to have a great teaching series. And I think how we can take the Bible and how does it apply? A lot of times we struggle with that. And sometimes people have shared with me, Mike, how can we take what was applied even in the Old Testament and we can apply it today on relevant cultural things that are happening today? And I think we're going to have that this morning, that you're not going to want to miss that. Also, too, many of you are headed on your way to church. I encourage you as you're on your way. Also, too, as you listen this morning, that this is an inspiration and encouragement as you travel on your way to church. Thank you for listening. And also, too, thank you for those that have come up to me and said, Mike, this is my church time. This is the time that the teaching comes to me. I want to thank you so much. And I get so many people who have come up and shared with me, all the way from Walmart to New Sharon, Oskaloosa, surrounding areas, all the different places that say, Mike, we listen to you every Sunday morning. I want to give you a big thank you so much for participating and being part of Vital Ministries as we go and do exactly what I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading us. But we're back on schedule this morning with the teaching series. It's A Time to Roar. Now, if you, I want to encourage you to think about this for this morning. If you follow the Elijah stream, and I encourage you to, it's at a prophetic insight of what lies ahead, and you will find a common theme as you listen to the prophets. This is the theme. It's a time to stand, and it's also a time to roar. The person who heads up the Elijah stream is Steve Schultz, and he's ahead of that. And I encourage you to look at their website. It's insightful, and it gives you glimpses of the prophets and what the Lord is speaking to them, and I believe also speaking to us as God's people. Again, that's the Elijah stream. It's outstanding. You can get to that. Go to that website. There's some really, really good stuff. I actually get all the prophetic things that's sent to me as I want to hear how the Lord is speaking to them. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Where is your voice? Is it speaking and proclaiming the gospel message, or have you become silent and even afraid to speak up to what God has on your heart? Last week, a young girl by the name of Josie Bunnell, she's a young lady who here in Oskaloosa, and she is just on fire for the Lord. And she wrote a biblical-backed view of gay pride this past week and how it should be viewed. I thought she did a wonderful job. Her voice roared with biblical truth, but the enemy hit hard against her and the words that tried to attack the credibility of what she wrote. I encourage you, if you have not read that post that Josie wrote, I think it's outstanding. I would highly encourage you to read it. I personally stand with Josie on her post, and I believe she spoke truth and love on exactly what is going on in the midst of our culture and the midst of our nation. See, folks, it's going to take people like Josie to stand against the radical regime in which the far left is trying to destroy our country with weak leadership all the way to the top, trying to lead our nation down the road to socialism, poverty, and leaving behind the biblical truths in which our Constitution stands for. Folks, it's time to stand, and it's also time to roar and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in those moments. In my mind, we've become cliff dwellers. People who have become hidden, fearful of standing for truth and justice, and even the biblical faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Colorado Springs, you can visit a site in which the cave dweller Indians lived. It's called Manitou Cliff Dwellings. These dwellings were inhabited by Anzia Indians dating back to 800 to 1,000 years old. See, if you go and visit this location in Colorado Springs, you'll notice that a small civilization carved into the cliff, a small little community in which they lived. In my mind, they were small people. The door sizes are small. The rooms are small. It is a place in which they hid from predators, like could be possibility of bears, mountain lions, or other Indian tribes. They were a hidden people. They made a lot of their pottery out of clay. They made spears and clubs as their means of protection. In my mind, they were always looking over their shoulders, always looking over their backs to see what was coming. So they put their back against the wall into a cliff so they could look out. So they hid in the cliffs and they hid in the midst of their lives. See, today I think there are people of faith that have become cliff dwellers. The pandemic has sent us all running in fear. From masks to social distancing, to sanitizing everything that we touch. We quit hanging out with each other. We watch church on TV, sitting or even to the point of driving up in our cars and watching a man speak from a truck or speak from some sort of a trailer to try to get a glimpse of a word of encouragement. Now, I'm not trying to sell what happened short with the pandemic. But we ran to caves, folks, and we found life there just like the cliff dwellers did a long time ago. See, I think this kind of sets up this morning, this teaching, as I think have become cliff dwellers as opposed to men and women who stand and roar for the gospel message. If you go to your Bible and look up the pandemic events that hit in the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you will find nowhere in which masks are ever called out. Only head coverings as you stood in the presence of God Himself. See, I want to take you this morning to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 49. And also, too, we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 19 for those at your home that you got your Bibles handy. And we'll see the great prophet Elijah, a man who, in my mind, is just an incredible prophet. You know, Jesus said the greatest prophet of all was John the Baptist. But John the Baptist's life was much like Elijah. And we'll see in Elijah's life that he ran to a cave and he dwelt there. And God will even ask him a question. What are you doing here? So this morning, as you open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 41. I want to go there this morning. And my point number one is this. Rain is coming. So it says in the Bible, it says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm is coming. So Ahab went out to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went out and looked and then returned. And Elijah said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told the servant told Elijah to go out and look. And finally he saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him to climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked up his cloth into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. See, it hadn't rained, folks, for 7 years. The Lord had stopped the rain in Israel. It was without a doubt one of the greatest droughts at that time that they had ever experienced. You know, if you think recently, we've had no rain before the rains finally came. It was a critical time for the farmers, I believe, as I stood out and I watched. Now that I have 50 acres and I have 40 acres that are planted in soybeans, I started to watch those plants wither and scream for rain. Matter of fact, you can see those small shoots of corn actually folding up, trying to contain every bit of liquid water they had to try to not release any more that was given. Now, here's what's something interesting, and I've shared this before, but one of the things that was positive about the short drought that we experienced was it actually did this for the crops. It made their roots go deeper into the ground as opposed to going out preparing for dry light conditions. Obviously, since then, we've had incredible rain, inches of rain, and we're thankful for that. But see, it was a crucial time. And as we look at for rains to the west, so was Elijah. So he goes and he tells King Ahab, rain's coming. You better quit eating and drinking and get on your chariot and get to the town of Jezreel, because if you don't, the rain is going to cause the mud to go so deep that your chariot will not carry you and you will get overcome by the rain. And then God tells Elijah, you go as well. You run and chase from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. Now in that distance, folks, that's a 17-mile track to run from Mount Carmel to Jezreel, that small town. And it says that God gave Elijah special strength. It gave him such strength that he outran the horse and the chariot. See, I think it takes special strength to have a voice today. There's a man by the name of Dutch Sheets, and I follow him. And if you get a chance, he sends out every day, give him 15. And he speaks the different things that's going on in the midst of our nation. And he's taken a political stance in the midst of what's going on. I've actually had people kind of hit me up, Mike, you are sure getting more and more political. And the reason why I say that, folks, because in the Bible, you will see politics and also, too, faith intertwined. And I think no greater day than today that it is for time for men and women to stand in the justice and also, too, the decrees and the commands of the Lord himself and stand for what's truth. We need that today. I think if you get a chance to listen and to read what Dutch Sheets writes on Give Him 15, we'll give you a word of encouragement. Which brings me to point number two, run to the caves. We're going to open up our Bibles again to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. And we'll go see in the life of Elijah as he ran. It says, and when Ahab got to the house, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me by this time tomorrow if I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, to the town of Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, and he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept underneath the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around. There beside his head was some bread baked hot on stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lied back down. Then the angel of the Lord came again, and he touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or your journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. See, some interesting things as we read this portion in the Bible, some things that I think have great application that I think will touch our lives. See, Jezebel, she issued a death sentence on Elijah's life. The victorious Elijah on Mount Carmel and what God had done in that amazing miracle, fire came down on top of what was going on as they did this thing to give God the Baals. They gave their God the glory on this and sacrificed bulls on it, and then nothing happened. But God listened to Elijah on Mount Carmel, and the fire came down from the sky. It says that his victory on Mount Carmel, and he also had killed 450 Baal prophets. Man, what a day that must have been for Elijah. But see, Elijah at this point, as he's running, he's on what I call a mountaintop experience at Mount Carmel. And then God had also showed him about the rain, and the rain was coming. And he runs for all he's worth, and we just talked about that and the strength that happened. But even in the midst of that, Elijah hits a point in his life where I think he gets burnt out. He's in the weakness and even hunger. And to a point, he's even facing within his life deep sense of failure. Can you imagine that? Having this mountaintop experience. And now all of a sudden, Elijah feels failure in his life. And he lacked a sense of faith. See, when all these things happen in the midst of your life and you don't keep your life fed, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying to the Lord, if you're not getting amongst other Christian brothers and sisters, what happens is burnout and weariness will set into your life. See, I think this pandemic has done that for us a lot. It's put us in isolation. Become cliff dwellers instead of people who live out in the open and trust God by faith. See, doing all those things, folks, just like it did to Elijah, it will take away your voice. Burnout, discouragement, and even depression will take it away. We see so much in the news and things about people who have gotten discouraged and even to come to the point of taking their life, thinking, what is the use? How can I keep going? See, I think in my mind, Elijah was there. He was at such a place of depression that he even asked God to take his life. "I'm finished. I'm done. I've done all I can do. And now this woman, Jezebel, wants to kill me." But see, God reminds Elijah. He tells them that 700 people of Israel had not yet kneeled to Baal. He was encouraging him, bringing him back. He's bringing back nourishment, brought him food. Brought him back refreshment. And I think sometimes in the midst of our journey, of our life, sometimes we need to get those get alone times with God himself to get refreshed. Ask Holy Spirit to help us in those places. See, here, what was happening in my mind, he had limited vision. Limited vision took him to the place of heading to a cave in isolation. When we have limited vision, that's what happens in our lives as well. But see, God doesn't keep us there. See, God isn't limited by limited vision. He sees everything all the time in the midst of our lives. And he wants to bring us to the point of our lives till we don't hang in the cliffs anymore. That we go out with the gospel message. We go out and share what God is doing. We bring people to realize the revival is coming, folks. It is. Revival is coming to our land, so don't be discouraged in the midst of what you see. That's why I encourage you to go to the Elijah story. It's so easy to see what's going on in the midst of our nation. We think all is lost. We think what the very foundations of what our American freedom stands for has been wiped away. And it looks like it. We keep seeing the far left taking and taking and all the things that's happening. We see the desolation and the things that saying that killing young babies is now okay, and it's at record amounts of children that are being taken away from our nation and saying that abortion is a right for you to have. See, we've lost the what's going on and the gay pride and the gay freedom and all the stuff that's going on. We have lost what the Bible is speaking out for us of what's truth, what's biblical. See, I believe this is going to take us to point number three. What are you doing in the cave? I believe this message is for someone today. Because you've lost hope. You've lost direction. You have literally lost vision for what God has in your life. So you go like Elijah. He came to the cave and he spent the night. But this is what I love. Starting in verse 9. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenants with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now this Jezebel wants to kill me." Can you see the desperation in these words? The discouragement, the depression? But verse 11, God says this. He says, "Go out and stand before me in the mountain." The Lord told him, and Elijah stood there on the mountain. And he said, "The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, 'What are you doing here?'" See, I think it's important for us to realize why God did all these different things. And I think, let's think about the windstorm. Last year where they had the derecho went through, the devastation that happened in states as it went through, it hit even in our state as well. And I can remember as I was traveling on a motorcycle trip and I could see go out in the outer limits and the byways of the highways. And you can see the devastation of the derecho and what it did, high winds. See, I find it interesting that God used the windstorm. He says that he wasn't in it, even though he allowed it. And I think sometimes as we're cliff dwellers, we get caught up in the windstorm. We see the winds and the outside of what's going on in the midst of our nation, and we're discouraged. The wind seems like it's overwhelming a nation and overwhelming the people within it. But then we hear about the earthquake. It says God said he created an earthquake, and it said the boulders came tumbling down off the mountain. So for us in Iowa, we don't really have what I call earthquakes. We have tremors, but not like what they have. And as we go out to, you go out on the West Coast and California and those states that are along the Pacific, they know about earthquakes. We see other nations of the devastation. But then again, God says he brought fire. Man, you can go and see the fire. I remember living in Estes Park for a brief period of my time, and I remember when the fires came and devastated the national park and some of the surrounding areas, and the fire came through. But see, God wasn't in the fire. But God was in the gentle voice. He was in the gentle voice that spoke to Elijah. And Elijah needed to hear the gentle voice. Because if he hadn't heard the gentle voice of the Lord, I believe that Elijah would have became a cliff dweller for the rest of his life. there would have been no Elisha. There would have been no other miracles to come and happen for the nation of Israel. See, folks, I believe that God is speaking a gentle whisper to us today, saying it's time to roar, people. It's time to stand. It's time to believe. Revival is coming. Even in the midst of what we see in our nation, we see nothing but ruins that's happening all the way from the very weak leadership of a presidency to the far left taking things away, trying to even to the point of taking away our vote. I believe, folks, we need to listen to the gentle whisper. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I believe that the gentle whisper, even this morning, is challenging some of you out there to stand even more so, not only in your home, but places in your community, places in a political arena, places in which we need men and women to have a voice today. See, I believe in the midst of the gentle whisper, it will take you out of being a cliff dweller. Instead of being a cliff dweller, you'll see the big sky of what God has for you. Will you get out of the cliff, quit dwelling, and go to the big sky and listen to the voice? That is the challenge that I believe Holy Spirit is bringing for us today, as it's time for our voice to roar. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you so much for this day, a time in which we can listen and read the words about the prophet Elijah and how it applies even to our voices, our lives and our voices today. Lord, help us to be voices that are in a way that stand for what's truth and right, but yet do it in the right way that's biblical. Not in a way that creates condemnation, not in a way that creates destruction, but in a way that stands and is firm as we hold on to the commands and the decrees and the words that you spoke, not only in the Old Testament, but the words, Jesus, that you gave us in the New Testament, even to the 12 that followed. Help us to be a people this morning, Lord, that stand and roar for you. That we give out the great commission of the Bible, which is the only way that we can get past ourselves and find you. That salvation comes through you, Jesus, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the silent voice that speaks into every man and woman's heart today. In your name I pray, amen. Folks, I encourage you today. We're going to continue. We got a couple more weeks of It's Time to Roar. You're not going to want to miss next week, as I believe, as we continue this series. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.